when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois in your eardrums. Live on a Sunday evening, smack in the middle of MLS madness, Jared, the playoffs. It's bonkers. Nuts.
It's crazy. Stupidity. Is that a word?
Stupidity is not a word, but if you want to coin that word, feel free to do so.
There's a lot of MLS stupidity going on this weekend.
After what happened in that Kansas City game against San Jose, which we'll come to. It's one of the many things we're going to talk about on this program tonight. And of course, our phone lines are open because everybody should want to chime in on the stupidity. 717-727-2378. We are an uncensored program, right? Like, we have the parental
last
advisory.
I saw we had the NC-17 rating.
How would we feel about me dropping an F-bomb on the show right now? I mean, I could always go back and fix it in post.
I think you've given it a good qualifier. If you're someone that needs to mute quickly.
Okay, if you're listening with kids, mute for the next 5 seconds. I said the f***ing playoffs, man. The f***ing playoffs, right?
It's definitely craziness. And I MLS, you always expect certain things. Even for MLS, this weekend was pretty interesting.
Well,
I mean, it was not even like, I wouldn't even say it's CONCACAF-y. It was at least CONCACAF. It's just like brutal. Usually.
Yeah.
This was just dumb.
I think, you know how, so I've never really dabbled in the psychedelic drugs. Okay. I've smoked a little weed in my life. That's just about all I've done. Okay. I've never messed with anything else, but the MLS playoffs are, it feels to me like in order to get the effect that the MLS playoffs provide, you would probably have to partake in a cocktail. Like, you couldn't just do one thing. You'd have to multiple things.
If you were doing hallucinogens and you saw your own jersey right now, you would trip out.
Yeah, if I looked down right now and I was on something, I would probably lose it.
Jason's wearing his Ford Batterson tie-dye.
Yeah, this is the drip kit. You know, is this the one you like or you don't like? This one you don't like.
That's the one I can't remember. I can't see the other one. The other one has like hula-like stuff on it or something, doesn't it?
It's more pink. The other one's more
drip
pink.
Drip kit's okay.
Okay, so drip kit gets the seal of approval. Right now, Colorado and Minnesota are playing. Minnesota's up 2-0. We'll come back to that if we need to. Today, we watched Sporting Kansas City beat San Jose in a just bonkers-ass game that ended in penalty kicks with Tim Melia stopping all three penalty kicks to help Sporting Kansas City win, just increasing his legend as a penalty kick stopper. And then we have to talk. I mean, first of all, the two play-in games, it's almost like they didn't even happen because everything that went down in Orlando has just completely overshadowed everything else, right? Is that do I have this right?
Oh, I can't wait for like pasty British dudes to do like a reaction video to those 15 minutes. Like, you know, there's going to be some pasty ass dude that's going to be just a 15 minute. Oh. MLS, to their credit, MLS released a full 16 minute, unedited, unbroken clip from beginning of the mess till the end, and they just owned the stink.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to pretend it didn't happen? No, you're not going to, but you have to own it.
It's like a really obvious fart. You just got to say that this happened, right? And just own it.
I mean, if your family is the family that, like, you know, fires off Roman candles and lights the nearby park on fire, what are you going to do? Pretend it didn't happen? Are you just going to, like, that's
do a gender reveal and start a forest fire?
Exactly. You might as well own it. Like, if that's who you are, Just be who you are. Major League Soccer is being what it is. Now, you talk about pasty English people. For whatever reason, Major League Soccer, that game was not on actual television, right? That wasn't on ESPN or Fox for whatever reason. The NYCFC.
Yeah, I was able to watch it on the MLS site. That's where I watched it.
So I flipped over to the MLS site, and I swear for a while it was one of the SAP situations where it was, I think TUDN had the game, and they had, it's one of their broadcasts.
I heard a different announcer than what I heard on the 16-minute clip MLS.
What did you hear on the 16-minute clip?
A really loud, American, obnoxious announcer. Okay, and I can't remember who's the name.
Maybe that was Orlando's announcer. Okay. I got, and this is what Holden's is saying in the chat, right? So right now we're live. You got the chat. It was some British dudes. It sounded to me like a couple of public school chaps from England had been assigned this game for like the international feed or something. Like, I don't even know.
Dude, it was better than what the Orlando one was. Orlando one was like, remember back in like early MLS days where it was your local hockey announcer also doing soccer?
Is this like
that's what it was like?
Is this like when the British would make fun of American announcers? Then they would say, hey, Ripley rips a, he ripped a shot
the
into
guy the. The guy knows soccer. I mean, I don't want to.
Okay.
It was the vibrato and the harsh voice that you hear of like American sports announcers use.
Okay, that so you don't like the over the top.
I mean, it's an eloquent game. Can we treat it that way?
No. Why? It's MLS. It's not eloquent. What are you talking?
Leave that guy for rugby.
Did I say you said eloquent? I said eloquent. That's not even a word. Elegant? You're trying to say elegant? Elegant.
That's what I said. I want eloquent announcers with elegant play.
It's not either one of those. None of those things should really be involved with Major League Soccer, considering where we are.
The other thing shouldn't be involved is that dude's voice last night.
No, well, okay, fair enough. Let's talk about. Well, okay. Do you want to go over the play-in games? Is there surprises there for you that you want to talk about?
Let's see. I'm a little bit. You know what? I probably shouldn't be. I was a little bit surprised at the San Jose game today that they took it 3-3.
No. I'm talking about
the actual play-in games.
The first
sorry,
two games,
playoff,
the only the only two games in the two extra games in the Eastern Conference because they went with 10 teams in the East because they added Nashville. So what you had was New England taking down Montreal, which I don't think was a surprise for anybody, but it took until added time for New England to get the goal. Gustavo Beau with the goal.
Maybe a little bit surprised that Nashville won, but more that now the Nashville won 3-0. I think that was probably the more shocking thing there.
This is the thing that that happened between our last show on Monday when we're talking mostly of men's national team and the game playing games on Friday night. Gonzalo Higuain, COVID positive. Federico Higuain, COVID positive. Leandro Gonzalez Perez, COVID positive. If you were planning to play Inter Miami, okay, you may not think they're the greatest team in the world, but if you're planning to play them and the soccer gods blessed you with the ability to eliminate, not like actually kill them, but like pull them out of the game, two players from Inter Miami, like in order to give your team an advantage, if you were Gary Smith and the soccer gods said, you have this power, who are you taking out of the game for Inter Miami?
Gonzalo Higuain and probably Matuidi.
No, you're taking Leandro Gonzalez Perez. Matuidi's garbage and has been garbage and was garbage. He got smoked by Dax. I love Dax McCarty. You should not be getting beat like that by Dax McCarty.
I would still probably take Pizarro over.
Okay, fine. Perez. But Leandro Gonzalez Perez is their best defender.
For sure.
And they needed him. And they obviously didn't, it was a problem that they did not have.
I don't know that Perez would have made a too big of a difference because two of those goals were rockets from outside the box. And I don't think that's back the central defender.
Okay, that's fair enough. The Bruce gets his win over. You want to think the dynamic is between Bruce Arena and Thierry Henry? I think Bruce Arena has a man crush on Thierry Henry. And I think he was legitimately bummed. Not in the, like, I don't want to win the game way, but bummed that he knocked Henri out of the playoffs. He said some really nice things about Henri leading up to that game. It seems like he's got this thing about he wants to be friends with Thierry Henri.
What do you think about the audio that was released about of Henri in the locker room talking to his guys and pumping him up? Did you watch that video?
I didn't see that. What did he say?
It was a big – it's probably like a two-minute-long speech. But it was just a really passionate speech you expect a guy like him to come out there with, and admitting that they may not be the best and stuff like that. But I just can't remember. There's three words he uses at the end, and I'm blanking on it now. I even told you I wanted you to grab a drop of it.
Oh.
I don't think you probably saw the message.
You know what? It was a very busy last couple of days, and I think I missed it. But you did share this with me, and I just
but it's a really good. It's very similar to this Jesse Marsh audio that we have from back in the day.
This thing.
So feel respect for the Gegner.
Replace that with English and a very sexy French accent.
He does have the best accent. If you were going to choose to have an accent when you spoke English, French would your a French speaker's accent would be the one you go with, right?
Yeah, if I'm trying to get my girl's pants, Australian. But I think Australian is a sexier accent for ladies.
I mean, okay, it's not that I think, man. I think Australian accents are corny. I don't know. There's something weird about them. They feel very like hickish to me. I don't know. It's a thing.
Yeah, but you know what? Ladies love it, though.
I guess
ladies
they do. But Thierry Henry and the French accent and them. We're going to play the football today. Like,
but
come
we've
on.
Clowned on it for so many years that it's almost like insulting, or like we find it to be I don't know. But I don't think it's what it once was, you know?
The French accent. Okay. All right. All right.
I play Gerard Depardieu.
So, again, the two higher seeds advance in the Eastern Conference. Now, what that means, before we kind of move on here and talk about what came over the weekend, is that Nashville, as the 7 seed, will face off against Toronto. Yep. And New England will get the Philadelphia. New England and Philadelphia have played each other, I don't know, 35 times this season. Like, it feels like they've played a million times. We can talk about those games next week or whatever. They're going to come in the next week. We'll talk about them at some point in the near future.
But here's the thing. We all know how good Philadelphia is. But mm-hmm. how much do you not bet against Bruce Arena in the playoffs?
Man, I think Montreal is not even a shadow of Philadelphia in terms of their ability to beat you in a number of different ways. And I think obviously the confidence Philly has is pretty strong right now. I don't think it's a bet against Bruce situation. I mean, I don't have Philadelphia winning the title this year, but I think they beat New England in this game at home.
Who'd you take?
I took Philadelphia
to win the. Oh, you said these.
I took Seattle to win the championship.
Hmm.
Yeah,
just go with the unsexy consistency.
I mean, it was hard for me not to get to Seattle, Toronto, and I did. I got to Seattle, Toronto again, and maybe that's wrong. Maybe this year is the year that Philly steps up and knocks off TFC. I out west, it really does. I know Sporting made it through. Sporting may end up in the conference final now. They're going to get the winner of this game that's happening.
I tell you, I'm still having a hard time betting against Orlando. I know that's a weird thing, but I just love the way they play.
Well, do you want to talk about how they advanced in that game against... I picked NYCFC to get in that game, and obviously I was wrong, but only because of the craziest possible sequence in the history of... And by the way, saying something is the craziest thing to ever happen in Major League Soccer is wild, because... So many crazy ass things have happened in this league. It's impossible to think that it would happen. Something even crazier, more insane. We would
get stupidity
in this situation. So we were walking through this before we came on the show, because I do think if you did not watch it live, it was hard to follow. It's a lot, right? So get us to the final whistle of regular time, because I think just because. You know, let's not forget about the other things that happened in this game.
Extra time, not
okay. Well, if you want to advance all the way to extra time, that's fine. I mean, you ended up with two goals in the first 10 minutes, and then they just kind of traded shots, but nobody really connected, right? So
yeah, okay. And I mean, and Orlando's one goal is from a penalty kick as well from Nani.
Yes, right. And
by the way, what do we think about the purple hair?
I'm on board with that. Why not?
I'm on board with it. I am on board with that. I just didn't know if you feel the same way or not. Here's the thing. If you're going to have purple hair, you better be as good as Nani.
I think you better own it. You better really... Well, yeah, I don't know.
Like back in the day when Dom Maduro did the pizza hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's good enough for pizza hair.
You were not.
But he got paid.
He got paid. Well, this is the thing. If you're getting paid for your hair, do whatever your hair, whatever they want to pay you for. You know, just...
Yeah, so basically... Over to shootout start. The key thing to know here is Gaiese has a yellow card, I believe, from time wasting during the real game. And what ends up happening is they get to 4-4, I believe it's in shootouts. And Gaiese,
by the way, Gaiese got that yellow card in extra time in the 103rd minute. Go ahead.
All right. So Gaiese makes the save that would ultimately win the game. He makes the save. Oscar Breja goes sprinting down the corridor, like he's out, you know. You said afterwards you found out from Paul Tenorio's piece that he was going to cheer up Ruan, who'd been sent off the game. And then they start talking. Something's not right. You just notice the players aren't celebrating the way they should be second.
We know, because it's the moderate, because we've now added this review process, VAR, looking at goalkeepers coming off the line, that's always the question, right? In those penalty shootout situations, or a penalty situation at all, it's always, oh, did he come off the line? This is, again, and look, I don't know that I'm saying don't try to get it right. I think that's obviously something people want. But God damn it, are we going to always stop people from celebrating now because, well, we got to wait. Oh, you scored a goal? Do you know if you were onside? Do you know for a fact there wasn't a foul in the buildup? No, you don't. How are you going to celebrate? You won the game? No, you didn't win the game. We don't know. Did you win the game? 8 minutes later,
I think there was a happy medium between, like, hey, high-fiving, we won, to sprinting down and doing a lap through the whole arena like Oscar Breja was doing. Like,
okay.
Maybe you hold off for a second.
Okay.
So, basically... Referee starts calling everyone back. they realize, or he's calling that Gallese has stepped off his line. And those of you that are watching the live video show right now, we have an image of it up there. His foot is maybe 2 to 3 inches off the line when the ball is kicked.
Mm-hmm.
According to the rules, that's a violation.
Hold on a second. Can I ask a question? Okay, so again, this is part of the deal where VAR is looking at these pictures, and we don't know what they're looking at, right? They're not telling us. There's no conversation. We're not getting the CB chatter like, can you go back to that last touch? Okay, good. We're not seeing
it. Like this. Head ref, we may have screwed the pooch on this.
No, I don't know why, by the way, it sounds like I said CB. It's not CB. It's like a legitimate high-quality audio.
I like the idea of Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. It's like, breaker, we got a VAR situation. Okay, come back.
Yeah. So basically, okay, well, you had a point you were making.
No, it's just that, how do you know? This is the same thing, the same problem I had with offside. How in the hell do you know that that's exactly the moment that the ball is being struck in that picture? How do we know that? I'm not saying that Nikki Soup and Sausage grabbed the wrong picture.
Well,
I
know I grabbed the picture, and that's just the one that's just, I was just finding one that demonstrated where his foot was. You know, I mean, there's other angles where you can see when the ball was kicked.
Well, okay,
and
but
I think
I'm saying,
it
like,
even been further off the line.
Even then, we're like, okay, let's sync it up and let's freeze it exactly. And by the way, the ball, I don't know, I'm getting in the weeds here, okay? But this is what VAR has done to me now. The ball compresses when you contact the ball, right?
Oh, my God.
Are we talking about the ball separating from the foot? Are we talking about the contact with the ball? What represents when the ball's kicked, when the ball's played?
I normally think when there's contact with the ball.
Contact. As soon as your foot touches the ball,
because it's when the ball is kicked. And the definition of a kick, I think, is when you make contact with the ball.
Is that the definition? Because I'm not saying
you would define it.
Okay, but is that the way they define it in the damn rules? Because the rules seem to be unclear on some of this stuff.
Okay, let's say it this way. Okay, I was going to get pretty dirty here. Never mind. I probably shouldn't. I was going to say, like, how you define what certain things are when they happen.
What, is this, like, a Bill Clinton situation? Are you putting...
Yeah, something like that. Like, at what point do things become things?
I did not have sex with her because I didn't have intercourse with her. But that other thing, that's not sex. That's what I'm
saying, right? Like we all define things differently. Now, we have a general agreement. I don't know what the laws of the game say about this.
Well, but that's the problem. You need to know what the laws are. And I'm sure...
But I'm not paid to. The ref is. And this is the call that they've made, okay? So, he's already has a yellow card. So, the FIFA rules, and this is where it gets weird.
This is where it gets weird. We live in a time warp situation. That's what's going on here.
Because MLS doesn't play on the international calendar, we started the year with 2019 rules by the rest of the world, because they crossed the
because
dateline.
The 2020-2021 rules had not gone into effect yet. They weren't even like available for us to.
FIFA gets together every summer and says, what rule changes do we want to put in before the fall season starts for all the other years?
And Major League Soccer doesn't say, halfway through their season, we'll change our rules now. They just stick with what was already.
Which is the right thing to do. You set precedent. Teams have been punished for certain things. You don't want to play it one way or the other. But because of that, there is confusion now about there's a new rule where you just get a warning if you do this once, not a yellow card.
By the way,
MLS is playing on the original rules where you get a yellow card.
That is nuts that there was ever a law that said you come off your line by 6 inches, you get a yellow card. That is dumb.
The new handball rules are nuts, too.
They're insane. Yes, insane.
We're over-officiating this game.
Clearly.
Okay, so basically, what ends up happening, guys, he gets a yellow card for putting his foot off the line. He gets a second yellow card, which is red card. So he's out of the game. This is where it gets wacky again. So Orlando thinks, I'm going to bring Brian Rowe, my backup keeper. And they get him all suited up. And first thing you see is Schlegel starts putting on the jersey, thinking he's going in.
Yeah, Gallese starts handing the gloves to Schlegel before Rowe even gets off the bench.
So it's crazy that the players knew more than the referees did in this regard.
Right.
But that's probably also the case many times. So Brian Rowe gets substituted in. They bring him in. He is on the field.
By the way,
do
we know that Pareja is on the field at this point? Is he back from the locker room?
He's back on the field. Someone fetched him and said, hey, homie, we got more game to play. So Brian Rowe gets on the field. Not only does he get on the field, he gets on the field, into the goal, on the line.
I like that my man Brian Rowe is still living with that haircut, still working the same
thing. He's still got the Jonas Brothers look. He looks like the fourth Jonas Brother that no one knows about. So, Rowe Jonas. So Brian Rowe's on the field, on the line, ready to face off against Castellanos. And I feel bad for Castellanos. First of all, he already had his goal saved the first time.
Right.
Now he's been iced for like 8 minutes during this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Chapman? That was the guy.
Yes, Alan Chapman was the referee.
Chapman's ready. He's got his whistle in the hand. He's about to blow it to let Castellanos shoot. Hold up. Finger to the ear. More information. Puts it back down. Okay, he's ready again. About to blow the whistle. Wait. I got some more information. Then he walks over to Brian Rowe, puts his hand on his back, and starts escorting him off the field all the way back to the Orlando team. Right. And now they've realized that you can't make a sub after the game is over. Now the actual minutes being played are over. Like anyone knows, I know from growing up, you can't make a substitution during shootouts.
Just real quick. It's happened before, and I think maybe Belgium did it. Now the Dutch did it. The Dutch did it a while back in the World Cup. Subbing out a goalkeeper for the penalty. You can do it before the shootout commences, but not during the shootout, correct?
I believe so. I think there has to be some. I'm not sure what the actual thing is. If once the shootouts begin, you can't do it.
That's actually incorrect. He subbed into the very tail end of extra time.
Okay.
And that's why he was able to play in the shootout.
See.
You're talking about Jesper Cillessen.
Yeah, I guess.
No, vice versa. He was in goal. They subbed in Tim Krul.
Tim Krul came in. Yes, that's what I remember. So you're saying that at that point,
Tim Krul was the penalty specialist that had been training for first shootouts.
But they knew that they were going to get to, they decided to sub Krul in just before final whistle of extra time. All right, go ahead.
They had a sub available.
All right.
So they go back, and didn't you see the Orlando like assistant coach has his phone out showing the ref, like, this is what we have, this is what's going on. And they look like they're going to let Brian Rowe back on again. And then they stop it. And then they finally make the decision. You can't make a substitution during a shootout, even if you have a substitution available.
Why is that unclear? I don't understand why that's even something that like, we don't know if you can.
Dude,
no,
this is this talking about. And we're not done. For those of people who have not watched this game, we're not done with the stupidity yet.
Okay.
So they get him back on the Schlegel, because he gets suited up, gets in the goal. They start back up with it. Okay. It ends up getting to 5-5. Correct, Nick? Goes to 5-5?
Yes, I believe you're correct.
5-5. Okay, Schlegel's in the goal. He's facing his second penalty kick taker or third penalty kick taker, one of the two. Schlegel makes the save. Awesome. It is awkward as all hell. He looked like a teenager touching a boob for the first time. He didn't know what to do, where to put his hands, but he made the save.
No.
Jay Rhodius.
There's so many other analogies you could have gone with.
You remember the awkwardness.
Look, by the way, if there's one place your old boy is in that situation, there's one place they know where to put their hands. That's the one place. You're not how to use the hands.
No. I'm talking about you don't know how to get him freed.
I see. You don't know. Okay.
He's handcuffed, man. He doesn't know what he's doing.
This analogy
there, you know?
Is falling apart. All right, go ahead.
So he makes the save. Referee blows the game over. Orlando wins. Everyone starts celebrating. Everyone's on the field. This is awesome.
They start playing. What's the jungle song?
The champions?
No, the one with the lot in the jungle, the mighty jungle. How the lion sleeps
the
tonight.
The lion sleeps tonight.
That one, yeah. I just butchered the joke. Go ahead.
All right, so everyone's partying. Orlando gets their first playoff victory of all time. Then all of a sudden, you see the camera cut to the referee, and Sean Johnson's in his face with his hands in the air, and something's wrong again. Something else has gone wrong here. So even the announcers are confused. No one understands. Everyone heard the three whistles. The game is over.
It's like a big family holiday dinner. Like, just something's going to go wrong. Like, you ate all the mashed potatoes? I didn't get any gravy. What the hell? Where's my... Why is Aunt Jackie talking about my girlfriend? Like, what's happening here? That's what this is like.
Yeah, and then so they end up telling the referee's got he's touching the ear thing again. He's touching the ear thing. What's going on? You see him looking at his notes. He's looking at his notes, looking at his paper. Brings everyone, separates them back off the field. Turns out he didn't count the amount of kickers correctly, and Orlando still has to shoot the win. It's still 5-5. Like, they didn't win anything with the save. It's still 5-5. How does the referee not know the score?
Because there was so much other chaos going on, apparently. I mean, I guess.
But it was chaos created by them.
Yeah. I read that Schlegel ended up taking the job because and lobbied for it because he occasionally plays goalkeeper with his brothers and his cousins back in Argentina.
He looked like a natural out there.
Does he become the most famous outfield player to play goalkeeper in MLS history? Jared. Think about the other times it's happened.
You give me a pick of your poison right now between if you're doing.
Well, okay. There are three candidates. I think one will be quickly eliminated, but he's worth a mention. Eddie Gavin.
Let me see if I can guess it. All right, I think I was going to say
okay.
Eddie Gavin.
Gavin is one of them. The other two, you know them. It's Mike McGee and now Schlegel. Tell me.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Schlegel's save, singular, is bigger than any save that Mike McGee made.
Oh, 100%.
The difference is Mike McGee played for like 40 minutes.
He did. That's right.
In goal and made like three saves.
He made a couple of saves. I don't remember the stats.
I'm still going with Mike McGee. Schlegel's was bigger. You're going to remember this forever because of all the stupidity that was attached to it. But at the end of the day, I'm taking Mike McGee over that. Maybe that's me as a Galaxy homer, too. I don't know.
Yeah, probably partly a Galaxy homer situation.
What would you take?
God, I usually give more value to the stakes. And obviously, but the stupidity part of this, how it unfolded, how Rowe looked like he was coming into the game and got pulled back twice and everything that went down. To me, Schlegel's going to go down in history as the bigger outfield player. I mean, the bigger story because he made the save to win the game.
But
I mean, I know
the thing. Here's the thing. His save is not the biggest story of that game.
By the way, the other thing. Do you think Benji Michel, who made the final penalty kick for Orlando after the whole confusion about the whistle and everything? Do you think he feels like he doesn't get? Do you think he's going to feel like he's not getting enough credit for finishing this off after all that other stuff? He got iced too.
Listen. Five other dudes did what you did.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
The fifth dude anywhere is not necessarily groundbreaking. Okay. Like it.
No, but
congratulations to him. He made
you know
the
what?
Shot.
But you know what? If you do it,
danger zone.
If you do it with style, you can rise above the other four. Is all I'm saying.
But I still think it's. MLS stupidity is number one storyline. Schlegel's number two. I still don't think all the years from now, I don't think you're going to remember that Schlegel's name, that he made the save. What you're going to remember is the referee incompetence.
By the way, the update on that is that according to a couple of different sources, I think Julia Poe of the Orlando Sentinel was one of them. Alan Chapman and his crew will not ref any more games in the Major League Soccer playoffs in 2020. If you screw up enough times, they will eventually hold you accountable.
Here's the thing. Isn't that kind of rough for the lineman and the fourth official?
Yeah, but isn't it a team effort? I mean, remember, maybe somebody did save his ass, Chapman, because he goes to his ear a couple times, as you said. Maybe they're one of the linesmen is one of the assistant referees.
Here's what I think we need to do. We need audio review with a video review. They need to release the audio tapes of this. And like it's like a black box situation. Like there's been a fiery mess of hell that just happened on this field.
Yeah.
We need to look at the black box and see what happened here. I want him to release the audio of what the guy in the booth was saying to Chapman on the field.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. It could have been all the other guys were doing the right thing, and Chapman was just confused all the hell. I don't know.
I do like this idea that they're using CB talk to communicate with them. They're like Blackhawk, this is Eagle Eye. I'm checking out that last play. I think we might have a VAR situation. Can we get you to pause the game, come back?
What was the guy in the field's name again?
I think I called him Blackhawk.
Blackhawk, we may have sharded ourselves on this. We need to take a review, look for see if we need a rewipe.
There might be some smokies coming down the pike. You might need to step back here, son.
I got a serious case of swamp ass here, and we may need to check and see if there's a situation.
We might have an illegal substitution. Anyway.
I know it's Florida and all, but it's pretty swampy down there.
Okay.
So I need to see what's up.
So Orlando gets the win in the weirdest possible way and advances. Today's games, again, it started out with Sporting Kansas City beating San Jose. In just, again, if it wasn't for Orlando yesterday against NYCFC, that would be the story of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because that was a bonkers game, too. It ends up with a penalty shootout where the Quakes make zero penalties because Tim Melia saves all three. Now, there is a point of controversy here on the Best Soccer Show. Our man, Nikki Soup and Sausage, who has just, as soon as I mention it, pulled up the image of Tim Melia.
That's a good producer.
On the line, if you're watching the video. If you're not, it's an image of Tim Melia from behind, the same image we had of Pedro Gallese earlier, where it looks like maybe Tim is also stepping just a little bit off the line before the ball is actually kicked. Jared?
Not quite as much green between his foot and the line. Here's the thing. I think there's two reasons why this didn't get called and the Gallese one did. One, I think that I think Melia's movement was lateral. I think it was very, very lateral. I mean, his movement didn't look like he didn't really truly cut the angle down the way Gallese did by coming off his line. Melia just made a good read and was moving laterally, and his foot slightly wasn't on the line on a lateral movement. So I think that may have masked why this happened. And here's the other thing. What official wants to make that call today?
Yes, I think that's part of this. again, I have my issues with VAR. I don't want to turn this into a general VAR discussion. But I will say that in this particular case, with the goalkeepers coming off the line, to make it such a fine decision, like, oh, his foot is 3 inches off the line as the ball is kicked, and then whistle and bring that back and make him take it again, and this, in this case, again, because of the old laws, give a yellow card for it. I mean, it is beyond over-aggressive when it comes to the refereeing on this situation, right? I mean, come on. You're completely changing the complexion of the game for what? For 3 inches. If the guy's 3 feet off the line or a foot off the line, okay, fine, whatever. Go back and do it again.
I mean, or put a provision in there, like I'm saying, where an advantage was gained.
Yes.
Mealy didn't gain an advantage. He's moving laterally across the line because he made a good read. He made a freaking great read. I mean, he was moving for the guy, even kicked it exactly where he was going to kick the ball. I mean, this guy can, he's got telepathy or something. Whereas Gaiese actually came out and took the angle away. Totally understand why you would want to call that, but the yellow card thing is just ridiculous. And we said that already. And here's the thing I want to talk to you about. Mealy is really good at penalty kicks. How is this dude this good at this?
I forgot. I was reminded of it this week, and then I think on the broadcast it was brought up by John Strong. He was a pool keeper, like a pool, you know,
a water polo.
No, and not a
pool. Oh, sorry. You mean like a pool in the
endless
pool?
Wait, you legitimately thought? Okay, yeah.
Marco.
No, he was. Do I have that on the board anymore? I don't hear it.
Marco.
Yeah,
Marco.
He was a pool keeper, meaning back when he joined Kansas City, he only joined them because they had like 3 injuries or they didn't have a goalkeeper. Yeah. They needed a backup. He steps in. He didn't play right away, but he got his shot. And then basically became the greatest keeper they've ever had, and he's the best MLS goalkeeper in history when it comes to penalty kicks, and he proved it again today with the three saves.
Whoa!
In terms of,
I've got to pick your poison for you then.
Okay, well, man. Okay. Poison. I'm talking about stats.
Let me finish. You defend your statements, damn it! Don't qualify them.
Okay, go ahead.
You are in the playoffs.
You shut your MLS mouth when you're talking to me.
MLS Cup is on the line.
Yeah.
Do you want Tim Mealy in your shootout, or do you want Nick Romano?
I knew you were going here. Okay, so obviously
take height of their careers, both of them. Which one are you taking? And we can take that to the chat room as well. You guys can weigh in.
Man, I don't look. Okay, I'm going to say Nick Romano, but it doesn't mean that I would be upset if I had Tim Mealy if I picked Tim Mealy. Obviously, they're both very, very good at it, incredibly good at it.
And I agree. I would probably take Nick Romano just because he finished his career still having that. Era about him, you know, that aura about him, excuse me. Whereas Tim Mealy may fall off at some point, and maybe he won't be good at these, but 6-for-6 in shootout victories, that's really insane for Tim. And
pretty good.
All three shots saved. They didn't miss. They were saved. It's not like someone sailed these over the bar.
Right.
This dude and two of them were amazing reads. He was just all over.
That means we're going to forget about the Wando goal that equalized.
If you're Kansas City, you want to forget about it because I don't know how he was that open 2 feet.
Wait,
from the
keeper. Hold on a second. It's Chris Wondolowski. He's scored 160 whatever goals in his MLS career. How many times have you seen him score a goal and go, I don't know how he's that open at the back post, two feet from goal?
But to my point, you've got a 50-year-old Chris Wondolowski in the box, and he's a known quantity to every one
but
of those defenders.
He keeps doing it.
Does this dude have like the predator camouflage and we don't know about it? Like where he can just like look like the trees around him?
Do you think it's more like, that where he like kind of blends into the background with his big baggy shirt and everything he does? Or do you think it's more like he has like telepathy, some sort of ability to in Star Wars, like the Force? He's got someone with the Force. Like
I'm going to go one more step from that.
I am not the Ford you are looking for.
I think that everyone looks at him like, God damn, that dude's good looking. There's no way he could be dangerous.
Is that what
like
it is?
That dude looks like a good looking, nice guy. I'd let him date my daughter. And then he just assassins you.
Okay. He did. He got heated. Did you see him get heated with Winston Reed at one point in this game? It was.
Listen, he gets heated. He gets heated.
And the Athletic dropped a piece this week with all these stories about just how crazy the dude is, especially when he's off the field. Nicest guy in the world. When he's on the field. Kind of crazy, like not the red mist kind of got. But he always
is he tier one best looking players all time in MLS?
No, like, probably not. Chris Pontius, Thierry Henry,
JPA,
David Beckham, JPA,
Is he better or not? Is he above or below Mike McGee?
Mike McGee is considered more handsome than he actually is because of the resemblance.
To Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, it's a Bradley Cooper effect. I'm not saying Mike McGee's not a good looking dude. He is a good looking dude. I don't want him to not like me. I do want him to send
Chris
me some sneaky vibes.
Tier two best looking men. Okay, let's give you another one. Chris Wondolowski or Chris Klein?
Oh, man.
Chris Klein's dead for sure, tier two.
Oh, for sure, tier two. I saw him in something where he played like some Southern doctor, and it was the, I think I might have told you about this. It was like the worst.
No, Chris Klein, the LA Galaxy vice president.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the actor. Oh,
American Pie?
Yeah, that guy. There's two Chris Kleins. I got confused.
Where's our soccer show?
Yeah, but you thought I was talking.
It's pop culture, though.
Jay Rodius.
What did I say earlier? And you completely. Oh, I said I said Tim Melia was a pool keeper. And you're like, oh, in water polo? Come on. Chris Klein, the former Galaxy player. No, Chris Klein's problem is the hair. Never had good hair.
Hmm.
It was always too greasy. It was always too much. It was too. I don't think.
Okay.
I think
Chris Wondolowski or John Harkes.
Harkes in his prime. Chris Wondolowski.
Prettiest
did,
People. Wasn't he on the Prettiest People?
He was in People's like Prettiest People of the Year or something. I guess I'll go John Harkes just for that reason.
Okay. All right. So Chris Wondolowski is dead in tier two then. Okay. I listen, Chris. He said it, not me. I think you're handsome. Man.
I was gonna go somewhere else. Okay, real quick, because I didn't want to transition from the playoffs and into some other topics. But I decided after watching the shootout between Sporting and San Jose and seeing Sporting come out on top. Okay, I'm going to flip over to the other game. I'm going to get ready to watch Minnesota-Colorado. And by the way, congratulations to Minnesota United, who just beat Colorado 3-0. Kevin Molino with a pair of goals. That dude is legit. Do not sleep on Kevin Molino.
Colorado had a couple sitters, too.
They did. They missed some shots. I flip over to ESPN. And I thought, now the way my life works, and I think a lot of people are like this, right? We're not just watching TV like we used to. We're not flipping around. It's not kind of on the way it used to be, or because of the way on demand and streaming works.
Mine exploration videos on YouTube to watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I go back and forth.
You're not watching the commercials. Like if you see a commercial, you're like, oh, that's the first time I've ever seen that commercial. People are like, oh, that's been on for 5 years. Like that's where I'm at now. I flip over to ESPN, and I thought that I was over not caring about anymore SportsCenter anchors butchering soccer highlights. I thought I was over it, but I'm not. Apparently I'm not.
Yeah, but when was the last time you saw one?
It was a long time. That's what I'm saying. I have not flipped over to SportsCenter and seen somebody butcher a soccer highlight in a very long time, but I'm watching this guy do the MLS highlights ahead of this game. They're getting ready to hand off to Adrian. He talked to Adrian Healy and Alejandro Moreno to set up for this game. Then he comes back and goes, let's talk about San Jose and Sporting FC. And I was like, what? And then he goes,
yeah, but you know what? That's on us. We got too many FCs up in here.
Maybe, but then he's like,
you just assume that's correct.
But he's like, okay, so it looks like Tim Melia is in net for Sporting FC, and he's going to save the goals. Go Tim Melia with the stop on I don't even know who it was. It's just
Chris Wondolowski with the cranium ball.
It was just annoying. I mean, again, I know I'm not supposed to get mad about it. Who cares
so
anymore?
Is ESPN any worse than Fox in that regard on those?
I don't watch any of Fox's like highlight shows. And Rob Stone does Fox. I know I'm in good hands with Rob Stone. That's a warm embrace with Rob Stone. Mm.
They don't have those shows anymore, Jason. They got rid of them a couple years ago.
Fox did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so there you go. I don't even have to worry about
SportsCenter
League.
Stoner's doing the free pregame for if there is a pregame. Yeah. Yeah, he's so safe and warm in the wave of his hair.
Yeah, exactly. It's the hair wave.
He's our Conan O'Brien in that way.
Is he our Conan O'Brien?
If you're gonna do a caricature of you'd have a big old wave on his head, right?
Yeah, his hair's not quite as dramatic
as
Conan's.
No, it's not comical like that.
No, and he does work with a redhead, so it kind of crossing your streams there a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that it just annoyed me a little bit. MLS Cup playoff time.
You know what? If we were to watch Europeans break down a basketball game, do you think it would be the same way?
Probably sometimes, maybe, well, certainly NFL highlights. And I have heard English people do NFL highlights, and I'm like, no, that's very wrong, everything you just said. By the way, you ever heard Tommy Smith call an NFL game? Because he did that for a long time. He used to, Tommy Smith and Derek Ray, you know Derek Ray, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy Smith and Derek Ray used to do like an international feed for Amazon when they had the rights to the NFL Thursday night game. It was Tommy Smith calling like, the tight end in the end zone catching the old onion back or whatever. And I work with Tommy. I love Tommy Smith, but I work with him on the radio. I have a radio show.
All the more reason to be impressed with why am I blinking on former Seattle announcer.
I'm just going to let you hang here. I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
He used to call the thing Cincinnati. Arlo White? Arlo White. God dang it. But come on. All the more reason to express by Arlo White when you hear him call an NFL game.
Yeah.
It's legit.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no. He does know the NFL. And I think Derek Ray knows a lot. Derek Ray's a very smart dude. I think he knows stuff. This is why I talk about sometimes I think what Americans need to admit is that you are programmed to think that an English accent is better at calling soccer just because it's an English accent, because we've been programmed to that.
I feel like Tommy Smith would call the football a pickle.
Maybe, but he's also Irish, so it doesn't even really fit into the zone of things that I'm talking about here. I don't know.
Brady's a great tosser of the pickle.
You know who's got a great voice?
Me?
Matthew McConaughey. You don't have a great voice.
What the hell, dude? Why you gotta say that in public out loud?
You have an okay voice. You have a passable voice. You got your wife. That's all I'm gonna say. I don't know. It was good enough.
That had nothing to do with my voice.
Okay, so you guys weren't doing the phone thing early days?
No, she. I told you, dude. Like, she hit me up on MySpace back.
No, I know that, but you didn't eventually graduate to the phone.
There was some months I spent in Toronto afar that definitely my voice got me by a bit.
That's what I'm saying. You used your voice to go.
I have the ability.
Okay, you have the tools.
It's more what I say, not how I say it.
You have a specific set of skills. That's what I'm saying, okay?
Yeah.
So, Matthew McConaughey, I think at this point, Matthew McConaughey has just tipped over to being, he's the character we all think he is. Like, I don't know that he's actually a person anymore. I think he's just a character.
He's basically, is it Woodrow? Is that the name of his character in Amazing Confused?
It's not Woodrow. It's something else.
Wood
it's close.
Something, though.
Wood something.
Woodson?
No, I don't know. This is terrible. What's up with our memories tonight?
I don't know, but whatever that character was, that's just who he is.
Okay.
He's fully gone into Dazed and Confused Matthew McConaughey.
And now he is obviously a part owner of Austin FC. He is boosting his city. He's boosting his soccer team. He's all into it. And Jared, with Austin FC dropping their first ever jersey, and I will allow you,
you've got to coordinate.
Give me your first impression on the green and, I'm sorry, the black and verde stripes of Austin FC.
Why is it black and verde? Why isn't it like Spanish for black as well? Like,
it's a good question. They didn't go with negro y verde. They went with black and verde.
That's an odd mix of things there.
Spanglish, man. It represents Austin because they got Spanglish down there.
It's Tex-Mex.
It's like when you go and get your tacos and your burritos, you say, can I get some enchiladas or whatever you say. I don't know how you say that.
Okay, first of all, green and black. Cool combo. Haven't seen that yet. Actually, it's not a very popular combo in the world of football.
They're like one or two. Sassuolo,
maybe
I think.
Santos in Brazil, maybe?
Maybe Sassuolo in Italy, I think, is the other one that was mentioned.
Yeah. So good on them for that, to pick something that's original that I don't instantly associate with something else. They avoided putting a Sporting in their name or Real in their name. Good on that. I think the logo still is one of the best logos that are out there. I love it, the simplicity of it. I think the overall jersey looks really good. I love the Yeti sponsorship. That's a very Texan sponsorship right there.
Austin-based Yeti. So, yeah. But, people pointed out, and you know what? If Adidas wants to give me a call and ship me some stuff and send me a bunch of money or sponsor the show, I'm on board. But
I'm down for some Yeti stuff.
People have pointed out that the stripes don't make it better. The Adidas stripes on the shoulders don't make it better.
Oh, I mean, Adidas has screwed up almost every uniform of the last 2 years by putting with the shoulder stuff that they've done. So, it's I don't think you can't blame Austin for that. That's an Adidas choice. I'm almost guaranteeing you on that. It's consistent with what they've done around the league. I don't think it takes away from it too much. I think it's a fit kit. I like it. It looks good.
Okay. Now the other part of this is when Austin FC drops this, and I believe I read that they sold more jerseys upon the first day as an expansion team than any other expansion team in MLS history. So maybe that's about Austin.
Is there a player on the roster yet? Is there a name on the back of any jersey yet?
They do have a couple of players. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head who they are.
Do you just get Josh Wolf's name on the back at this point? Do you get Claudio Reyna's name on the back here?
Do you think that they... I guess he was wearing the sleeves under the jersey. I was thinking, did they make a long sleeve Josh Wolf jersey? Was it a long sleeve jersey? It was a long sleeve jersey, right? In 01?
The one I saw was short sleeve.
No, in 01, when Josh Wolf scored against
Mexico. Oh, yeah, I think he had the thumb cut out and everything in it.
Yeah, he was either holding them like...
When he puts his arms out like this after he scores, he has white sleeves. I remember that.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember if they were part of the jersey or he was wearing them underneath. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
If you is that the one team where it's like, oh man, I probably would rock the name of one of the manager, either the manager or the coach on it. Like,
yeah, Reyna on the back.
Wolf? Come on,
they have two as of October or so last month. As of last month, they have two players on their roster: Cecilio Dominguez from Paraguay, and Rodney Reyes, also from Paraguay. So two Paraguayans no respect on the roster.
Dominguez is a DP apparently.
He is. That's what it says. Let me find out where he's played. He's played most recently at Independiente, and now he's on loan at Guarani, which is, you know, because Austin's not playing yet, he is playing in the Paraguayan league to keep fit and sharp.
If you're Austin, you got Claudio Reyna as your general manager, coming from NYCFC, who's done a good job with their youth development out there.
Yeah.
What style, if you're going to pick the Dallas Orlando style, or the Galaxy buy players all the time style, the Seattle low key and understated style. Like, what style do you feel Austin needs to embrace with the theme of Austin as a city?
Man, these are always weird questions to me. I don't know that in every case they have
the Galaxy New York styles out, right? Like the spend big money, big names.
I don't think they're going to do that.
LAFC style.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. I think you could aim for something that's like LAFC light. You could aim for Atlanta light. You know, I'm not talking about, it's like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, you want the top end, but you really can't afford it. You don't have the money, but you go and you get a pretty good version of it. Like the facsimile. Everybody's like the Amazon reviews are really good, but you know that that's not the name brand. You're not paying for the extra name brand recognition. You're going a little bit lower than that. I think they can pull that off.
I want to say Atlanta, but I haven't seen Atlanta since Tata Martino's been gone. You know what I mean? I haven't seen them the way I saw them, like when they were Tata Martino's.
Well, is this like a hearing and listening to Jimi Hendrix situation? Is that what you're doing here?
Like, I'm not sure Josh Wolf can hear Jimmy.
Okay. I think Josh Wolf can hear Jimmy. I just don't know that.
Can he make his players hear Jimmy?
I don't know that Anthony Precourt hears Jimmy the way that Josh hears Jimmy. I think that would be the question. And Claudio as well.
Okay, so it is Precourt's team, like you've said. What do you think? Precourt left Columbus to do something. He wanted to do something.
He wanted to be cool in Austin FC. He wanted to be cool in Austin.
How does Anthony Precourt see this team, do you think? What do you think he wants this team to be?
That's a very good question. I honestly don't know. I don't think he's given us any indication to think that he's got a clear vision.
The only thing we have to go on is that he brought Claudio Reyna into this team.
Yes.
That's really the only things that we know. Josh Wolf was an assistant at LAFC? Was that where he was that assistant at?
He was with the national team, I think, before took this job.
Yeah. Columbus, too, I think.
Columbus. He had been in Columbus, too. But okay. Under Berhalter, though. He was in Columbus under Berhalter, so that makes sense that he was with the national team. Go ahead.
So the only hints that he's been able to give us at what he's going to do with this team is who he's brought into it so far. So I want to think that it's going to be youth-driven. I think it's going to be youth-driven because, I mean, why else do you bring Claudio Reyna in? Did he bring Villa? Was Villa already there when he got the job? David Villa?
They were kind of at the same time, I think. I mean, I think obviously NYCFC was like, we got dumb money, let's go get Villa and Lampard and Pirlo. And really, Claudio didn't have a lot to say about that. I don't think it was like Claudio Reyna was like, I think we should sign David Villa. And everybody's like, well, duh. I mean,
I'm just trying to think. Who's the player that Austin brings in to? What's the right level of player for them to bring in? Because it's not going to be the. I mean, listen, Cristiano Ronaldo's not coming to Austin.
No, I think they could probably. You know, they could go. I think they could probably swing a South American who's had, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 good years in Europe.
What about like a Benzema?
Karim Benzema? You don't want Karim Benzema. I don't think you want him.
Falcao?
Falcao would be more of a shot, but Falcao's, where's he? Is that United now? Like not
United,
playing?
I believe.
Is he playing?
He's at United.
Okay. Falcao's.
Which United? He's not a Manchester United, I can tell you that much.
Wasn't he?
No, he went back to England, though. Who do you go back to England for?
Well, why'd you bring him up if you didn't know where he plays? That's all I'm going to say.
You're the one that does a soccer show every day about England. I don't know.
Okay. He is
Galatasaray.
He's at Galatasaray right now.
What?
Yeah, Falcao's at Galatasaray.
I could have sworn he was just someplace else.
Maybe he was, but it might have been a cup of coffee. I don't know.
He's 34.
Yeah, maybe you're thinking about 34. You're not thinking about Falcao. You're thinking about somebody else, but it's okay. I get what you're saying. You're talking about
Cavani.
Edinson Cavani, right? Another South American striker.
Yeah.
Not in the same vein. I mean, these are different players, but they obviously have. They have
Cavani's who I meant when I said Falcao. I'm sorry.
Yes. So Edinson Cavani is 33, only a year younger than Falcao, Manchester United. Right. So he just made the move because United was desperate. They bring in 33-year-old Edinson Cavani. Maybe.
But they got to bring some name in, though. They got to bring a name in.
Yeah. Well, okay.
First of all, Austin's cool. So you got to bring someone in that's cool. You know, you got to make this cool. That's what Precourt went to Austin for, is to make this team cool.
I think Precourt went to Austin so that he could maybe become cool. I don't know that he is going to make Austin cool. I think Matthew McConaughey is the guy that's supposed to make Austin cool. And
now, that's a good question. How much clout does McConaughey have to bring someone over
I don't know.
A name?
I don't know, but I do want to play you this. It's long. It's 2 minutes. I don't know if we're going to get through the whole thing. But this is Matthew McConaughey from his bedroom. I don't know which house this is in, wearing the new Austin FC kit. Giving Stephen Colbert his first 11 for Austin to represent Austin. These are not soccer. This is not a soccer thing. Okay, these aren't soccer players. Rather, this is. I'm gonna play it for you, and just so you can get a sense of it. You ready?
All right.
Verde, let's get the starting 11 for Austin FC made of Austin Knights wearing this jersey. We're gonna go with the classic 4-3-3 formation up top. We got our forwards. Center forward striker, we're going to put University of Texas quarterback Sam Ellinger there. Good in pressure moments, and the man is going to score goals. On the left wing, we're putting Mr. Andy Roddick. He has speed and an attitude that we can count on him getting the much-needed yellow card when we need him to. Right winger, yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to stop. That's only two names. He said the much-needed yellow card? Since when? What is he talking about there?
Maybe he's watched a lot of Bruce Arena. First tackle, first goal, first foul, first card.
So that's the University of Texas quarterback who you probably don't even – I don't even know who that is right now. And then Andy Roddick. That's how far – let's keep going.
Newbie to town, but you may know him, Mr. Elon Musk. Always innovative, delivering great ideas.
Isn't he from South Africa? Field.
At midfield.
Apparently, he just moved to Austin. The whole thing is that these people all live in Austin, and it's
okay,
going
to. So you'll have to live there. You have to be born there.
No, okay. Just Austinites, as in you live there. And we're going to get to the. It's very soon. We're going to hear one that I am surprised.
Guys
by.
Helping control the game. I love this duo, Gary Clark Jr. and Joe Rogan. Them on the left and right side.
Apparently, Joe Rogan just bought like a $20 million crib on a lake near Austin, which I did not know. I thought he was a Northern California dude, to be honest with you.
Joe Rogan on your soccer team, that's literally Alex Jermaine Jones.
It really is. All right, let's keep going.
Rock and roll and hootsball, keeping the rhythm in the game, facilitating. Uh-huh. Center mid, our number 10, the one and only living legend, Mr. Willie Nelson. A grandmaster chess player and extraordinaire. He will be dictating the match. Now on the back line, we need enforcers and we need speed. Right and left backs, the one and only Ethan Hawke and Cheryl Swoops. Always creative and knows something about starting a franchise because she was the first WNBA draft. At center backs, we've got director Robert Rodriguez and Emmanuel Acho, always protecting us, never afraid to put the hurt on someone. And at goalie, da-da-da, Yours truly, Matthew McConaughey.
I was like, he better put himself in somewhere.
Because I'm still a record holder for amount of red cards a goalie received in my youth soccer years for 2 years in a row.
Okay. I don't even know where to start. I guess the enthusiasm is like laudable, right? We just love the fact that he cares.
You want this though. You want this though. Is it kind of lame? Yeah, a little bit lame.
It's pretty lame, right?
But that's Matthew McConaughey, dude.
I know. Here's the thing, though.
Don't you want to watch an Austin FC game where they are cutting to him for reaction?
I just want
a McConaughey cam that I can watch the whole game. Because the dude's going to be passing a spliff at certain moments. Like, all sorts of stuff. He's going to be in his boxers at certain times. Yeah. Like, who knows what's going on in that booth?
Yeah, pre-court's going to be like, hanging on him, like, yeah, and look, McConaughey's gonna emote. I know he cares about Austin and he cares about this, he's invested in it and everything. It's just, I want it to be a little cooler than it is. It just bothers me that it's enough dorky dad that it makes me feel self-conscious because I'm like, oh, do I come off like that? Is that how I sound like Matthew McConaughey?
Here's what's gonna happen. This dude's gonna be the Mark Cuban of MLS. Like, he's going to be the Mark Cuban of MLS. And here's what I'm saying. The first Austin FC goal at home, you know he's going to be in the dog pile.
By the way,
he will come off the field, onto the field, and jump into that dog pile.
So there's a bench. Do you want to hear the bench? There's actually a bench.
Oh, my God.
On the bench, we've got Simone Biles, a team player and gold medalist. And
how are you not putting her in the starting lineup?
Mr. Richard Linklater. See you.
So his two subs are Simone Biles and Richard Linklater, which is like, I mean, that's like one of the great directors of the last 30.
How is Richard Linklater not in your midfield to create something?
Simone
Biles can do more athletic things than anyone on that list.
I don't think athleticism was the key to his 4-3. His classic 4-3-3. Classic 4-3-3. With Willie Nelson as the number 10, which I do like that pick. If you're going to go with that, I guess I like that pick. Now I know that all those people live in Austin. I didn't know that. And now
I had no idea.
Are all of them going to get out to a game? Because I think I've talked about this before, like that the advantage that LA teams have on everybody else is that your celebrity quotient is higher than everybody's. I don't know who's going out to Galaxy games right now, Jared. Maybe you don't want to be seen in that building, but obviously Will Ferrell's going out to those LAFC games all the time, and you know we're getting those.
Well, I think we need a Charleston MLS team just so like with Bill Murray can be a part of it.
Is that where he is?
In Charleston now?
That might be where he is. I don't know. You would think that Miami, once people get back in the building, Miami's going to draw some people out, right? Some stars.
I will say this though, watching the Orlando like shootout, it was a kick-ass time having fans in hearing them in the stadium.
It was good.
I still couldn't separate myself from the fact that they all crammed behind the goal for the shootout. Like, all the spacing, like, this is full-on Floridaing down there. Like, it was Florida man over the place.
Look, in the defense of the fans, who, I mean, I guess I'm kind of not defending them and defending them at the same time. Number one, maybe don't go to the game. I don't know. Maybe not go to the game. Also, but if you do go to the game, if you're Major League Soccer, if you're Orlando, how are you going to keep them from acting like fans and gathering behind the goal during a shootout is what fans do, right?
Yeah.
It's impossible. That's why maybe the whole thing is dumb, but
thank God the shootout took half an hour. That's great for all those fans that they're that close together for that long.
The difference between that game and what we saw, and Kansas City had fans too, by the way. So they it was the same deal. I don't know if they were crowding in blue hell behind the goal, behind Tim Melia or whatever his name is. I don't know if they were doing that.
Wait, but he's Obama's daughter?
The difference in vibe between those two games and the game we just saw finish with Minnesota and Colorado, completely different. And Minnesota is probably more responsible, and maybe their state has rules that don't allow fans in the building, and they would love to do it. But man, the vibe is completely different. It does remind you how much better soccer is.
At the same time, Australia's got 50,000 fans in their stadiums right now because they don't have any COVID cases. Like, how did they do that? Stuff, right?
How did they do it?
They're an island, Jason, so we can't get there.
That's not real.
That's just geography.
Jared, I don't believe that Australia is a place. I think you're lying to me. I think that's a hoax. That's fake news. Australia's
accent. The COVID can't keep up with the sexiness of their accent.
Good eye, Mike. Yeah, we don't have any COVID cases here, mate.
Listen, from a selfish standpoint, it really was cool and fun to hear Orlando fans screaming at the top of their lungs as that shoot out three different times when they won.
Take solace in the fact that next time that the LA Galaxy play a home game, you might have fans in the building. So congratulations.
We're
going to
have fans left?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you've run them all off.
Yeah, we'll see what the answer is to these problems. We don't have a coach yet.
I don't know. We should briefly talk about Americans playing abroad. It was not a banner weekend for young American players.
I think it's just unfortunately the U.S. had their last friendly on Monday. I think that plays into it a lot. And there's two games quick succession, so I think a lot of them just saw time off the bench. I don't know. Weston McKennie's spot probably is on the bench for Juventus, but Gio Reyna, Serginho Dest. Now, we need to talk about Serginho Dest real quick because he may be having the full-time position here for a while.
Yeah, Sergio Roberto goes down. Prognosis is 2 months out, which you would think would mean lots and lots of time for Serginho Dest. I mean, you do have to also keep put it in the context of Barcelona is not exactly playing the best soccer right now, and
losing 1-0 to Atletico.
I mean, you lose to Atleti, that's definitely not there's not shame in losing to Atleti, but when you combine everything that's been going on for Barcelona right now, and they sit in 12th place after 8 games played, and it's a really weird season.
I mean, a Copa del Rey doesn't make up for that if that's where they finish.
No, if Koeman doesn't get them up into the top three again, because you're talking about missing Champions League next year, Jared. If you're Barcelona,
can you imagine that? How long would you have to project out before you ever thought you'd see Barcelona miss a Champions League?
You would not be able to convince me that it would ever happen, and ever. And then look,
has to happen, I would have thought, oh, they got fined for tapping up and they couldn't recruit players for 5 years or something like that. There had to be something like that would happen.
No, like a scandal, and they flat out ran out of money, and the government stepped in and sold all their players, and they had to start from zero, and it was like a Bad News Bears. What am I thinking of? Major League. It was a Major League situation. Yeah. That's the only way I could imagine it happening. And it kind of, by the way, kind of is. I mean,
They still got over half the season left to figure it out. But listen, this is the risk Barcelona took as well by keeping Messi when he didn't want to be there. Like, they could have moved on, made moves, brought other players in. I'm not saying Messi isn't still good or anything like that, or maybe he's not trying his hardest, but something's different in that team. And I think it's Griezmann. Yeah. I just don't think Griezmann fits into that team, man. When I watch them play.
Oh, yeah, that's been true for a while.
Griezmann's a great player, man, but I just don't think he's right for that team.
That's been true for a while. They do have the Champions League comes back this week. So they'll be playing against Dynamo Kiev on Tuesday. They do have a 2-1 lead on aggregate in that series, in that tie. So, you know, they have a chance to advance or not advance.
But listen, as an American standpoint, it's good news for Serginho Dest. They first of all, they need more creativity. They need more goals being scored, and the position's open for him that he's been auditioning for to take it on full on.
Yeah, he's a competent kid. I expect him to be fine, kind of either way of the. But obviously, it would be better for him if Barcelona was good. So you mentioned Weston McKennie on the bench. You mentioned we didn't talk about Pulisic being hurt, not quite back. Do you worry
next weekend?
Do you worry though? Do you worry about it?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, even Frank Lampard says that he's worried. In the quotes that he had this week, he said just there's something muscular that we have to get through with him that keeps coming back up. So, yeah, I'm worried that the saviors is having problems. But he's not the first player to go through this. They've got some of the best medical staffs out there looking at it. I trust him to be able to do it. What I'm just more worried about it is – well, actually, what I'm not worried about is that beard he's rocking. That beard is legit. I didn't realize he could give me grown man feelings until I saw that.
But isn't it kind of, I don't know, like, isn't it a little bit old? Like, isn't he aging himself just a little bit too much? So it doesn't make you uncomfortable. 22? No, but just doesn't make you uncomfortable. Just a little uncomfortable. I don't know.
Okay. At 22, did you have facial hair?
Yes.
Okay, then what's your problem?
Or I was going back and forth between having facial hair.
At 22, you had a chin strap, okay? You can't talk.
I also grew up in the that was the early 2000s. It was almost the 90s. Okay, stop. Be nice to me. It was not my fault that fashion choices were bad back then. We were all wearing really baggy ass jeans and what were we wearing on our feet? Vans, a lot of Vans back then. What else?
Oh, I'm still wearing Vans.
I'm just trying to think.
I don't know, like Jordans.
I don't know. Anyway,
Birkenstocks.
Let's mention, this is, you have been, here's the thing, you've probably been avoiding this name because you don't want to give him any credit at all, right? You don't want to talk about Josh Sargent setting up a goal to help Werder Bremen to a shocking draw with Bayern.
Hold it in the chat saying Sargent looks sexy versus Bayern. First of all, there's no way that kid has the possibility of looking sexy.
But look, man, do not hate on the redheaded persuasion. That is not appropriate in this venue.
I said nothing about his red hair.
Yeah, but you were implying it. You were implying
it. Saying,
you were implying
in all
it.
The comic books, who gets the girl, Archie or Jughead?
Archie, there's always a girl attached to Archie, even if he's kind of going back and forth between Betty and Veronica.
That Jughead gives a girl feelings to make her question Archie.
I thought that was Moose. That's not Moose? I don't know my Archie very well.
I'm not sure either. I just know one of them wore a crown.
Jughead wore a crown. That was the move? He was the Screech of the Archie comics. That was the move?
Oh, by the way, 3 days till Saved by the Bell comes back out?
Which streaming service is it again? Tell me.
Is it Peacock?
Peacock. I'm currently not subscribed. I did the trial and I'm done.
Oh, you did the trial already?
Yeah. Because I was like some soccer thing I wanted to watch.
Well, just like Ted Lasso, I will do the hard work, watch it for you, and let you know if it's worth your money or not. Nick will let you know as well.
We may have to do like a rundown of which ones we're subscribed to. Because I've
and start sharing accounts.
Well, that's certainly possible. But I just like
not
I just,
that we would do that.
I just want to no, of course not, of course not. NBC, please give us money to advertise your service because we're both definitely on board for paying for it. I just like there's so many. Like I'm kind of like and I don't even know if I'm getting value. Like I think I've watched Disney Plus myself 3 times. My kid watches it for Simpsons and some other stuff. But I'm not sure I'm getting value.
My kid has now made the choice that he wants to know about the X-Men and watch the X-Men movies. So we had to have a choice to talk about what order to watch the X-Men movies in because there's different timelines and chronologies and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Where we ended on was just watch them in the order that they came out in the movies. So we watched the first X-Men last night. Now he's anxious to watch X2 and stuff like that, which is on Disney Plus.
Those movies are so old at this point. It's crazy. Okay. All right. So what were we talking about before you railroaded the conversation? By mentioning
the fact that sexy ass Caden Clark scored again in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did. I think you're probably watching the same highlights I am. We did skip over that Columbus Crew win over the New York Red Bulls, didn't we? We skipped
it. It didn't have as much stupidity as the other ones. It was hard to get to rank it.
Well, I do think Columbus is a good team, and they're going to be dangerous. And obviously, they get either Toronto or Nashville. So
okay, Columbus over New York or Minnesota over Colorado. Which was the easier pick for you to pick a winner beforehand?
I think Columbus over New York. I think I felt pretty good about that one.
Wow, I would have said Minnesota over Colorado.
Well, I didn't want to underrate Colorado. I do think that they were better than people gave them credit for. Obviously, today was not their day. They didn't finish their chances, as you said. You're right that Minnesota's been on a run, and I did talk up Kevin Molino all week long. So I don't know. I mean, 4-5-3. You know, I guess that's just where it is. I guess that.
Okay, well, we're going to see where this Portland game ends up and where the Toronto-Nashville game and the Philadelphia New England during midweek, and we'll see what teams move on. We'll make some picks.
Before we – do you believe in Josh Sargent? Are you starting to believe in Josh Sargent?
Oh, jeez. When he scores goals, yeah, tell me.
But he set that up. That's a great
– Okay.
Give him credit for that. Cool. Okay.
Credit achieved. Check. Now, if you want me to put him in the starting lineup for the national team, show me some goals.
Damn, yeah, like BD Smokey said in the chat.
Zardes scored.
He did score. Okay. I you would have Jossie Zardes ahead of Josh Sargent right now.
I'm not saying that. It seems to me.
I pulled it. It's on the record now. You're required.
I have a must-win game tomorrow?
Yes.
Jossie Zardes.
Okay. All right. I think it's defensible, but you're going to rile some people up with it.
Oh, sure. I hate myself.
here's another question. Oh, it's not a pick your poison. I can't do that. It's just like a really... Well, I know the answer already. I just wonder what you would have to give up for him. Would you take Jossie Zardes back on the LA Galaxy right now?
God dang it, dude. What?
Would you?
The thing is, I think
hesitated
he's better.
At a yes.
No, here's the thing. I think he's better now than when he left the Galaxy.
Okay, so do you take him back right now?
Well, I don't know if I want to build a team around Jossie Zardes.
No, I'm not saying I would build a team around him. I'm saying you need goals in 2021.
Okay, listen. I'm not going to say no to what is maybe the second place goal scorer in MLS right now. What is he in terms of a goal scorer? I mean, he's up there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Let me see.
Yeah.
He is
in the league this year. Yeah, he was like, finished, I think he finished second behind Rossi.
Second. Yeah. Will I take the second best goal scorer in the league? Yeah, I'll take him.
Again, you probably have to give something up for him, and then that gets into the question of what that would be. And
the dude has 12 goals. There was maybe 10 games in a row we didn't have 12 goals total.
So yes, yeah. That's the math. That you're right.
With Chicharito. Wait, how am I going to take JL Cesardes if I have Chicharito already? How am I going to find the space in the box for both of those guys?
Jared's like, I want to watch Chicharito eat my enchiladas and get some tacos down here in Southern California. All right, we got to go. We got to get out of here. It's time to move forward. If you have not heard, we changed the name of the Patreon, so it's easier to find. It's now the Best Soccer Show on Patreon. I don't know why it wasn't before.
I think Nick has something he wants to contribute.
Oh, Nick wants to get in here. Okay.
Well, I just want to remind everybody to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts as well. We had a really great one come in yesterday that, if you don't mind, I'd like to read.
Oh, yeah, sure. I didn't check Mickey. It, so go ahead. Yeah, do it.
This is from Farside. He says, the best. The name is true to the claim. The best. If you're a soccer fan in America, the show is a must. Jason, Jared, and Nick put together a phenomenal show with a lot of laughs and a great community backing them. Subscribe and come join the live shows. Call in, join the chat, and become a bestie. Sign up to the Patreon and get in on the Best Soccer Show Slack. You're missing out if you're not. Farside. So, thank you, buddy.
And I did a bunch of things without actually clearing it with Jared Dubois. I made some changes to the Patreon and then didn't tell you that I did any of those things, which I think is fine because nothing really changes other than I set some goals for us, and if we reach them, maybe
I like the idea of doing a Ted Lasso watch along.
That is definitely one of the goals. If we can get to a certain level, we can maybe go and do a Ted Lasso watch along, which would be incredibly fun.
Anyway, how do we not have a Nicky Soup and Sasha drop of some kind? We don't have a Nick drop.
No, you're right. We don't have one. Why don't we have
something
one?
For like the movie Little Nicky or something like that? We can
find something. We can definitely find something. Yeah.
Yay. Man.
Yeah.
You need a drop. Come on, dude.
All right.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Okay.
maybe we grab Ferris Bueller's like the Sausage King of Chicago.
That's actually really good. What's that guy's name?
Oh, no, see, now you're doing it. Why are you asking questions you don't know the answers to?
That's true. You're right. I don't know the answer. It's going to come to me. As soon as we get off the air, I'm going to remember that guy.
I know it's going to, yeah.
I'm
going to
remember his name. Abe Froman. Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. All right, so Patreon, the Best Soccer Show on Patreon. New goals, new stuff happening, Slack, bonus shows, fun stuff happening, whatever it is you want.
And I want to say this too. We're in preliminary talks to potentially do a post game for the December 9th U.S. national team game. That's something we're talking about right now. Assuming that game happens, we'll see.
Preliminary talks with the people that make the decisions in our house. That's who we're in preliminary talks with. All right, that's it. Ratings and reviews, as Nikki said. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you guys next. Jared, you got anything? I'm sorry, I always forget. Do you got anything you want to drop in?
Man, I got nothing to the consequence.
Okay. Josh Sargent, better than Josh Cesardes. No? No? No.
Not even close right now.
Hey, bye. Your best.
All is ages old.
Yeah. Should feel respect for the gangster.
What are we doing?
Oh, how did I spend that much money?
Eddie, what happened to Don Fogel, Eddie?
Oh, it's incredible.
Get to the chopper.
And accordingly.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes.
Who asked those questions? Who asked those questions?
Sage is out!
My girlfriend,
I scope this down. That's him, Iceman.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
J. Rodius.